So this Rig Mantra, so thereafter begins the elaborate commentary upon that Sutra Vakyam. Tasmadva etasmadatmana akashas sambhutaha akashadvayuhu vayoragnihi agnerapaha adhya prithivi prithivya oshadhayaha oshadibhyonam annat purushaha. Sava esha purushon narasamayaha. Actually, annat purushaha. I think I last I told, no? Till there. Till then comes what? This srishtihi, the Vedic cosmology is presented. The presentation of Vedic cosmology. The theory of creation. The Vedic model of universe. So there, actually, what is Brahman? Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma, that Rigvedic mantra, Rigvedic statement, is a brief explanation of the Sutra Vakyam, the answer, the question, answer for the question, what is Brahman? I told you, the three questions can be asked. What is Brahman? How to know Brahman? Now, what is Moksha? What is Param? Paraprapti. And for which the brief answer was already given. And now, this what is Brahman? For that question, the elaborate answer is given. And as an answer, how is it given? The answer is given that is a, this Srishti Prakriya is used here. Srishti Prakriya, the method of analysis of the creation. And a Srishti Prakriya is introduced here, which means Brahman is presented as the cause of the universe. What is Brahman when you say? Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma, if you say, it is called Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahman. But here, when you say Brahman is that from which this universe has come into existence, when you say, it is called Tatastha Lakshanam of Brahman. Tatastha Lakshanam. Another definition of Brahman. I mean, not direct definition, it is indirect definition of Brahman. Not Tatastha Lakshanam. And it says everything has come into existence from Brahman. That's what the Upanishad says. By saying that, Upanishad expects us to understand if everything has come into existence from Brahman, Brahman is the Jagat Karanam and the universe is the Karyam. Karanam and Karyam, that he wants to say. And how he says, Tasmadva Yetasmad Atmanaha. And doesn't give the whole Srishti in detail, doesn't present it, but it just says how the elements came into existence from Brahman. Very briefly it says, it doesn't say everything explicitly, but we have to derive the lessons, corollaries from that presentation. Tasmat means from that. Yetasmat means from this. Why that, from that and from this? Why Upanishad uses the pronouns, the dative case forms of the pronouns? You know, tasmat from that and yetasmat from this. What does it mean here? Tad stands for Brahman, this stands for Atma, the Self. Now, when it says Brahman, the reality of the universe, implied by the word Tad, is not different from this Self. What is this Self? The nearest Self. For every individual, nearest is the Self, isn't it? Therefore, this Self, the Atma, which is none other than that Brahman. That Brahman and this Atma are not two different things. They are one and the same. That Brahman, what is that Brahman? The reality of the whole cosmos, What is the reality of the whole cosmos? Satyam Jnanam Anantam. The consciousness existence, the limitless consciousness existence is Brahman, which is this Atma, which is the self of every individual here. Tasmat va etasmat, from that Brahman alone, Brahmatma, you can say Brahmatma. From that Brahman, the reality which is the self of every individual alone, Akashaha Sambhutaha, space came into existence. Then Akashad Vayuhu, from the space what now? Then air came into existence. Vayoho Agnihi, then came fire exist into existence. Agnehe Apaha, then waters came into existence. Then Adbhyaha Prithivi, then from the waters came into existence. The earth means all the subtle elements have come into existence. And here we have to understand each element has its own gunaha, its own attribute, which is, you cannot separate it. You cannot separate sound and space. So, shabda gunak, shabdaha, sound is the only quality of space. See, subtler the element, more pervasive it is, and it has what? We say, the shabdaha space, the sound. Then, when we say our next element, air has its own quality, it also has borrowed quality of the space. So, air has two qualities. It has its own is what? Touch is its own quality. It has also the borrowed quality of the space. It has two. Because karanasya gunaha karye anusyutam bhavati. Because the attribute of the cause must be there in the effect. So, it has borrowed quality, the sound of the space. It has its own quality of touch. So, sound and touch, the air has two qualities. Then the fire has three. Its own quality is gunaha, is form, rupam. It also has the other two borrowed qualities of space and air. Rupam, shabda, sparsha. Three, the fire has three qualities, three gunas. Rupam, then shabdaha, sparshaha. Form, sound and touch. Then the water has its own quality of taste, and it also has the borrowed other three borrowed qualities of other three elements. Then the earth has its own quality of smell, gandaha. Prithivi is called gandhavati, the smell. The any smell basically belongs to which element? Earth only. So, earth element has its own gunaha, its own quality of smell, and it also has the other four borrowed qualities of other four elements. Like this, all the elements have come into existence with their qualities. See, so the subtler the element, it has one quality, and the grosser, because earth has all the five qualities of all other, four qualities of other elements also. Earth is the grossest of the elements. And subtlest of the elements is space anyway, we know. So, subtle elements. Thereafter, Upanishad does not talk about the grossification of elements. How the subtle elements have come into existence from the Atma Brahman. Doesn't say how they have come into existence, it doesn't talk about. It only says all these elements have come into existence from Brahman. That's all, finished. Thereafter, grossification means all these elements got mixed with each other and thereby they became grossified elements, gross elements. That we have to remember Tattvabodha lesson, and we have to understand, we have to know each element got divided into two halves, and the each half got again divided into what now? Another four quarters, and each quarter becomes 1/8 of each element joined the other elements. How? Not everything. And here you have to remember, the sat, each element has three gunas. Sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha. Please remember this very carefully. The subtle elements came into existence from Brahman, the Atma. Then each element has three gunas. Why? Because the elements, three gunas are nothing but threefold subtle powers of matter. The matter unmanifest is Maya, matter manifest is what? Elements. Matter alone, one matter, unmanifest is called Maya, the Shaktihi, the unmanifest power. The matter manifest is what now? We have five subtle elements. And each element should have what? All the three gunas, three subtle powers. The power of knowledge, the power of activity, the power of inertia. Hope you remember these things which I taught you in Drishya Viveka text. Jnana Shaktihi, Kriya Shaktihi, Dravya Shaktihi. The power of knowledge, the power of activity and the power of inertia. All these three powers alone, when they become manifest, they are called three gunas. What are the three gunas? Sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha. These gunas are nothing but manifest powers. Powers manifest are gunas. Powers unmanifest are what? Maya. Unmanifest power is Maya. Manifest is three gunas. When you say the elements have come into existence, no, that means the Maya Shakti alone has become what? The matter alone has become manifest as these five elements. So each element has three gunas. Every element should have three gunas. Because each element is Maya product, isn't it? Product of Maya only. Therefore, here we say there is sattvic, rajasic, tamasic aspects of each element. And here we say the sattvic aspect of each element, all the elements together have become what? The mind. What is a human mind? Human mind is nothing but modified form of sattvic aspect of the elements. Only sattvic aspects. Then sattvic aspect of each element has become what now? Sense power also. So our mind and sense powers are products of sattvic aspect of elements. All our minds, all our sense powers are products of sattvic aspects of elements. Then what is there now? Rajasic aspect is left behind. So rajasic aspect of elements alone have become physiological functions and the powers of organs of actions. Our organs of actions and physiological functions are the 10 are nothing but products of the rajasic aspect of elements, subtle elements. Is it clear? Now you know, sattvic aspect has become subtle sense powers and the mind. Rajasic aspect have become the mind, these physiological functions and powers of organs of actions. 10 are over now, isn't it? Now what is left is only tamasic aspect. So the entire sukshma shariram of everybody, all the aspects which constitute the subtle body of every individual is what? Sattvic, rajasic aspects of subtle elements. Sattvic, rajasic aspects of subtle elements alone have become what? All the aspects which constitute the subtle bodies. Now what is left beginning only is tamasic aspect of the elements. The tamasic aspect alone, the tamasic aspect of each element gets divided into two halves. And each half again gets divided into four quarters. Therefore, 1/8 of the tamasic aspect of each element joins the tamasic aspects of other elements. So this joining of the 1/8 of the tamasic aspect of each element with every other element is called what? Grossification. So every element has tamasic aspect of every element has half of its own tamasic aspect and 1/8 of the tamasic aspect of other four elements. What is a gross space? Gross space means tamas, half of tamasic aspect of the space, and 1/8 of tamasic aspect of air, 1/8 tamasic aspect of fire, 1/8 of tamasic aspect of the water, and 1/8 of tamasic aspect of earth. Like this, this is how the tamasic aspects got divided and mixed also. And it's called grossification, panchikaranam. And this panchikaranam is grossification. After grossification, what we have is gross elements. What is a gross space, gross air, and gross fire, and gross water, gross earth. They're all nothing, all the gross elements are nothing but only mixture of tamasic aspects of the elements. The gross elements do not have sattvic rajasic aspects. Okay, and from these gross elements alone, the gross earth has gross space, gross air, gross fire, gross water. And from this gross earth alone, we have got plants, vegetable. Vegetation is, the entire vegetation is from gross earth alone. And from the vegetation alone, we have food. The food is the product of the vegetation. And our physical body, purushaha, physical form is nothing but product of the food. Anna rasamayaha. Purushaha anna rasamayaha. Why? Because the food, when you say the every physical form of any living species, creature, is nothing but modified form of the food essence in the form of sperm and ovum, which is parental food, modified form of food essence only. Therefore, the human, what is this human form? What is this physical form we are seeing here? They're all nothing but born of food essence of the parents in the form of. Therefore, this is how the creation has come into existence. This does not go into details. This much alone the Upanishad presents. This is Taittiriya Upanishadic model of universe. And it implies when you talk about the human form, we have to understand all the living species, all the creatures, all the living beings of all the species, they're all nothing but modified form of food essence of the parents only. This is how, therefore, ultimately every physical body, whether it is alive or dead, it is it is all material product. We have to understand here. Every physical form is a material product. Therefore, we had this from this. This much is presented here. So from here, what is our lesson? What is the use of knowing this? From the Brahman, which is Atma, from that the space has come into existence, and then from the space air has come into existence, from that everything has come into existence, and the vegetation has come into existence, and at last from the food essence of the parents, every physical form is nothing but modified form of the food essence. This, by knowing this, what do we gain here? The idea is, all that is here is nothing but modified form of matter. And that matter is the power which is not outside of Brahman. Therefore, the whole universe is coming to existence from Brahman. This is the lesson. What is Brahman? Means the cause of the universe. Jagat Karanam Brahma. why do you want to know Jagat Karanam Brahma? Because by knowing the Jagat Karanam, that cause from which the universe has come into existence, one attains Param, one attains Moksha. Therefore, what is Brahman? For that, this is what knows. This is a Tatastha Lakshanam is presented here. If Brahman is the Karanam, Jagat is the Karyam, universe is the effect. So what do we have to understand here from this lesson? When any Karanam is inherent in the Karyam, cause is always inherent in effect. Therefore, the universe is the effect and Brahman is the cause means Brahman is very much inherent in the universe. This is a lesson. And when you perceive the effect, you are very much perceiving the cause. Are you perceiving the Brahman then? When you touch anything in the world, you are touching Brahman. When you are seeing anything in the world, you are seeing Brahman. When you are smelling anything in the world, you are smelling Brahman. When you are tasting anything in the world, you are tasting Brahman. When you are feeling anything, you are feeling Brahman. When you are experiencing anything in the world, you are experiencing Brahman. Why? Because experience of any form of experience, whether through seeing, hearing, smelling, touching, tasting, everything you are experiencing in the world, you are experiencing Brahman. Because everything is a product of Brahman. Okay, the world is what? The whole Jagat is. Brahman is very much experienced when the world is experienced. Because it is not possible for one to experience the effect without experiencing the cause. Experience of effect is nothing but the experience of the cause alone. Is it clear? One thing. But do not know what Brahman is. We are experiencing Brahman all the time, but we do not know what is that Brahman we are experiencing in the form of the effects. It's like when you are experiencing the wave, you are very much experiencing the water. You are seeing the water. Therefore, Karanam Karye Anusyotamasti means the cause is very much inherent in the effect. The whole, when you are experiencing the universe, you are experiencing Brahman, the Karanam. One thing. Then, the Karanam is there in the effect, cause is very much inherent in the effect means how. How cause is inherent in the effect. Had to remember the next lesson. The cause is always expressing itself in the form of existence of the effect. Any cause expresses itself in the form of effect, existence of the effect. When you say, when you are experiencing the chain, you are experiencing the gold. And there the gold expresses itself. Gold, the Karanam, the cause, expresses itself in the form of the existence of the product, the effect, the chain. When you are experiencing the furniture, you are experiencing what now? The wood. And the wood, the cause, expresses itself in the form of existence of the effect. Very important lesson. I know I am repeating it. You might feel bored because of my repetition, but please, by this very subtle lesson I am telling. Whatever I have been telling all this time is repetition, but here onwards, even this repetition is very subtle, important for you to start. Now, only now I am coming out of jet lag. But wait, I get ready, you will be tired. So doesn't matter. Today we'll start and then next class on we'll pick it up. Okay? We'll pick up the thread from next class. So the cause expresses, this is an important lesson, cause expresses itself in the form of existence of the effect, in every effect. So the wood expresses itself in the form of existence of the furniture. The fabric expresses itself in the form of the existence of the effect shirt. Where does the shirt exist? Not outside of the fabric. Where does the furniture exist? Not outside of the wood. Where does the chain exist? Not ornament exist. Not outside of the gold. Means the cause expresses itself in the form of existence. Why do we say that? If we remove the cause, the effect will lose its existence. What will be lost? What is that the effect loses? When the cause is removed, if you remove the gold from the chain will lose its existence. When you remove the wood, that furniture will lose its existence. Losing one's existence means becoming non-existent. Isn't it? Losing its existence means becoming non-existent. So when you remove the fabric, the shirt will lose its existence. Therefore, this is how you understand the cause expresses itself in the form of the very existence of the effect. Here also, from that we have to understand Brahman the cause. If the universe has come into existence from Brahman, Brahman, the cause of the universe is Brahman. Therefore, Brahman is very much inherent in the universe. Brahman, the cause, must be what now? Expressing. Actually, Brahman is expressing itself in the form of the existence of the universe. Brahman, the cause, expresses itself in the form of existence of everything in the universe. Existence of the universe. Is it clear now? Therefore, existence of the universe is Brahman. Therefore, existence of the universe is Brahman. And are we experiencing Brahman? Of course, we are experiencing Brahman in the form of the existence of the universe, of everything. That is why whenever you say anything, you see light is, when you say you are experiencing light, when you are experiencing light, you are experiencing Brahman, the existence. As what? Brahman. The existence of the light. The existence of the light is Brahman. Is it clear now? The existence is Brahman. That implied by the word is. Light is means light belongs to the world. Is what? Brahman. Is stands for Brahman. Sound is. Somebody is talking, sound is, vehicle is going, sound is means you're experiencing sound. But no, sound is means existence of the sound is what now? Brahman. Smell is, fragrance is. When you say existence of fragrance is Brahman. Existence is Brahman. Taste is, tea is sweet. When you say sweetness is means, then your existence of sweetness, existence of taste is Brahman. Easiness of anything is Brahman. Touch is very warm. It is very warm. Warmth is, hot, very hot. Heat is means what? Existence of the heat, existence of touch. What now? Is Brahman. Therefore, existence of every object, form, color, light, sound, taste, touch, and all these different objects. Objects, the touch, is it? Smell, form, color, light, sound, all of them. Existence of every object is one and the same, only existence, which is nothing but Brahman. We are experiencing Brahman as the what? Existence of everything. Brahman, the reality, expresses as the cause of the universe, expresses itself in the form of existence of the universe. Like gold expresses itself in the form of the existence of the chain. Furniture, the wood expresses itself in the form of existence of the furniture. Fabric, the cause, expresses itself in the form of existence of the shirt. Brahman, the cause of the universe, also expresses itself in the form of existence of different varieties of objects perceived, experienced. Is it clear now? Are we experiencing Brahman? Yes, we are experiencing Brahman. As what? In which form? In the form of existence. So, when you say existence, when the chair, light is, means light is existence of the light. You're experiencing existence of the light. You're experiencing existence of form. You're experiencing existence of the sound, existence of the taste, existence of touch, existence of smell. You're experiencing all the time. Existence is Brahman. But you are only saying, we're experiencing the existence, the Brahman, our existence of the universe. But can we experience Brahman without experiencing the universe? We are experiencing Brahman as existence of the universe when we are experiencing the universe. When you're seeing the ocean, you're experiencing the water in the form of what? Ocean. You're experiencing the shirt, you're experiencing fabric in the form of shirt, isn't it? But can we experience Brahman without experiencing the universe? So, this when your existence of the universe and without the universe, we can say it is pure existence. Existence of the universe is manifest existence, manifest Brahman. It's called what now? Brahman being manifest is what? Brahman existence is a manifest existence. When you say existence of the universe means manifest existence. Existence of nothing means what now? There's a pure existence. But can we experience pure existence? You can never experience pure existence. Because what is this pure existence? But understand, to be, see, for any object to have a status of being existent, you have to say what now? It is, isn't it? For you to say, Mike is, you must be conscious of the Mike being there. Isn't it? Existence of a given thing, to talk about the existence of a given thing, one must be conscious of that given object. How can you talk about the existence of something without being conscious of that thing? Okay. Now, anyway, because I thought we all will exist. So here, the existence of anything, now one cannot talk about the existence of something without being conscious of it. Therefore, when you say Mike existence presupposes Mike knowledge, Mike consciousness. Sound existence presupposes sound knowledge or sound consciousness. Form existence presupposes form consciousness or form knowledge. Smell existence presupposes smell knowledge, smell consciousness. Taste existence presupposes taste consciousness, taste knowledge. Touch existence presupposes touch consciousness, touch knowledge. Tree existence presupposes tree knowledge. Rain existence presupposes rain consciousness. See, Roger, you are right. Suddenly it has become chest. You can't go to the park now. You are correct. Unpredictable climate in London. Therefore, now when you say this, rain existence presupposes rain knowledge, tree existence presupposes tree knowledge, light existence presupposes light knowledge, pure existence presupposes pure knowledge or pure consciousness. Therefore, pure existence must be pure consciousness. Okay? Pure existence is pure consciousness. But can we experience this pure consciousness, pure existence? We can never experience pure consciousness. Are we experiencing existence, consciousness? We are experiencing consciousness, existence as a manifest knowledge, as a manifest existence. But a pure existence, pure consciousness. Manifest existence means what? Existence of the world is what? Manifest existence. Knowledge of the world is what? Manifest knowledge. Consciousness of the universe is what? Manifest consciousness. But can we experience pure consciousness, pure existence without the universe, without experiencing anything here? No, because the pure consciousness existence is the very self. Self means what? Nearest self, the subject of knowledge. The self is available for recognition as what? Now we have to say as the very knower, experiencer. Therefore, it is not available for objectification. Because it is not an object, then what is this then? It is the very subject. Available for neither the subject nor the object. You know that? Mm-hmm. Consciousness is neither the subject nor the object. It's available for recognition as subject of knowledge. Words can never be experienced. Because every experience is Brahman here. And here so we say, because the Jagat is, I have told you earlier also, the Jagat, whether the universe is there or not, existence, consciousness is always there. When you experience the experiencing the universe, you are experiencing consciousness, existence. As the existence of the universe, as the knowledge of the universe. But when the universe is not a pure existence, consciousness, you are never experiencing because that is very you. And it's available, a subject of, it's available for recognition, a subject of knowledge means subject of knowledge is the knower and the experiencer. And is consciousness the experiencer then? No. Consciousness existence is not the experiencer. Please understand, never ever say that. Consciousness existence is not the experiencer. But how do we say that existence is available for recognition as the subject of knowledge, not as an object of knowledge? Because consciousness existence is not an object, therefore not available for objectification, not available for experience, but consciousness existence is available for recognition, for understanding as the subject of knowledge means there is no experiencer other than consciousness. Consciousness existence is not the experiencer, but there is no experiencer other than consciousness existence. Is it clear? Very important lesson. Consciousness is not the experiencer, but there is no experiencer, knower, observer other than consciousness. That means you have to make a statement. What first step is what? Pure existence is pure consciousness. That you have understood now. They are one and the same. That pure existence, which is pure consciousness, is what? No. Available for recognition as the subject of knowledge. Subject of knowledge is experiencer, knower. But consciousness is not the knower experiencer, but is no knower experience other than consciousness. That means you have to make a statement, experiencer is consciousness, knower is consciousness. When you say knower is consciousness, experiencer is consciousness, you are resolving the experiencer, knower in consciousness. Please understand, when you say experiencer is consciousness, you are resolving experiencer in consciousness. What does it mean by saying resolving the experiencer in consciousness means what? Resolving the experiencer or knower in consciousness means understanding the fact, the truth, that experiencer and consciousness are not two different things. It's called resolving. And experiencing is not an action, it is the very nature. Like what? When you say the whole room here, the whole hall here, with varieties of colorful flowers. Look how colorful and beautiful here, huh, today. Look at this. How colorful they are. All these colors, all these flowers, all the objects here now shine. In spite of gloomy cloudy sky up, they all shine very well. The shine means they are illumined. The illumined means there is illumination. There is illumination means there is illuminator. Is it? And who is the illuminator? The illuminator is light. When you say you have resolved the illuminator in the light, that means illuminator and the light are not two different things. Understand now? When you say two different things, you can't resolve. Resolution is not possible if they are two different things. If they are two different things means, if the light goes away, still there is illuminator, still there is illumination, still things are illumined, then you can say what? They are two different things. Then resolution is not possible. You can't resolve it. When you say illuminator is the light means, when the light is turned off, illuminator also disappears. There is no illuminator, there is no illumination, nothing is illumined here. That means what? Illuminator is none other than the light. Illuminator is when there is light. There is no light, there is no illuminator. Understand? Really speaking, there is no illuminator at all, only light. Light in whose presence opaque things become illumined. Gets the status of being the illuminator. The status is gained. Understand now? Similarly, is consciousness the knower, experiencer? No, consciousness is not the knower, not the experiencer. But there is no knower, experiencer other than consciousness. Understand? Therefore, you resolve the consciousness. When you say experiencer is consciousness, knower is consciousness, means I aim is to stumble upon, to arrive at consciousness, then you are not supposed to hold on to experiencer and knower. Okay? Our purpose, what is the purpose? You have to, the buddhi has to reach consciousness. Understand? Intellect has to arrive at consciousness. Finished. That is why we say experiencer is consciousness. But not to say, oh, experiencer, knower, subject, nothing. Arrive at the truth. Okay? Then there is no knower. Knower is consciousness, means without the consciousness, there cannot be knowing, knowing with very swarupam. There is no knower other than consciousness. There is no experience other than consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is that pure consciousness which is always available for recognition as the knower. The consciousness existence is what? Brahman. Pure consciousness alone is the pure existence which is available for experience as the existence of the universe. Okay? Therefore, Brahman, consciousness, existence plus universe is equal to what? Manifest Brahman. Consciousness, existence minus universe is what? Pure existence consciousness. Don't want to say unmanifest, okay? Pure existence consciousness. Universe minus consciousness is equal to what? There is no universe. There cannot be universe. Yes, I just said. Is it clear now? There cannot be universe. There cannot be universe. Zero. Whether universe is there or not, consciousness is always there. Either as pure consciousness or manifest consciousness. Pure existence or manifest existence. Universe is manifest. Universe becomes a manifesting medium for the existence. It becomes manifest. When the manifesting medium is not there, pure existence. Pure existence, manifest existence. Pure existence, manifest existence. Pure existence, manifest existence. When existence is not, never a time. Time is, existence is manifest. Time is not, pure existence. Space is, existence is manifest. Space is not, pure existence. The universe is, existence is manifest. Universe is not, pure existence. That pure existence is pure consciousness. That pure existence consciousness is the self content of I, you. Is it clear? Therefore, actually, the idea is, the corollary of what that we have to derive is not to say this is what is universe is, means Brahman is very much manifest as the universe. no fraction of second you are missing Brahman. Which fraction? The whole life is life of experiences. Waking, dream, deep sleep state. In every experience, there is what now? Experience of an object. An experience of an object involves experience of Brahman, the Ekas. How is it experienced? I don't know whether you remember this or not. I taught you in Dakshinamurti Stotram, there is something called what? Reflexive awareness. Remember this? Reflexive awareness. Consciousness. It means reflexive consciousness awareness means being aware, simultaneously being aware of the knower and the known. Are you not aware of yourself when you are aware of the light? Being simultaneously being aware of the object and the subject. It's called reflexive awareness, consciousness. Do you get it? When you say light is, don't you know that you are? No, I know light is, but I don't know whether I am. Effortlessly you know you are. Without saying you know you are. Simultaneously being conscious of, aware of the knower and the known. Understand? Therefore, there's no fraction of second you are missing. You are Brahman. You are Brahman. You are Brahman means self is Brahman. I'm not thinking you may again which you confusion comes. Self is Brahman. Self is Brahman. So what is Jagat Karanam? Now through come like this. Karanat, first you understand Karyam, then you see the Karanam, then from the what is it Karanam? You arrive at it. It's called Tatastha Lakshanam of Brahman. I'll explain this again next class, the Tatastha Lakshanam. You don't directly go here, isn't it? Goes step by step. Tatastha Lakshanam of Brahman. I'll explain this next time again. So, what is Brahman? It's elaborate answer for what is Brahman. Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Brief. Brahman is Jagat Karanam. And you say, what is Brahman? Thereafter, in Upanishad, now how to know Brahman, the question comes. How to know Brahman? And we had already brief answer. Guhayam nihitam asti. Brahman remains hidden in the cave of one's own mind. Available for recreation in the mind. This is a brief answer. But here, Upanishad persons what now? How to know Brahman? Brahman is available for recognition as the self. There's no way of recognizing Brahman, the reality. It's available for recognition only as the self, not as an object of knowledge, but as the very self. I'm not using the word subject also. Look at this. Not as an object, but as the very self. And for which Upanishad, now elaborately you have to make it clear. Self is Brahman. Self the Atma, the content of the word. I is the self, not even I. Content of I is the self, which is Brahman. This is the fact one has to arrive at. For which? Are you knowing the self? No. Well, what are you knowing here? your knowing self is Brahman. And so what do you do here? Here Upanishad presents what now? Panchakosha Prakriya. This where I left last time and I have brought you back to the class. So next class I will start from here. Okay, this is the actual class, beginning of the actual class is this. Panchakosha Prakriya. Panchakosha Prakriya means the method of analyzing the five different layers of personality. In fact, Koshaha means non-self. Okay, the non-self which is seemingly covering the self, not really covering. A non-self can never cover the self. Because non-self is seemingly covering the self, therefore it is like the cover. Therefore, the non-self is in fact said to be what now? Like a kosha. Cover. And they analyze in each layer of personality is seemingly covering the person. Personality is seemingly covering the person. Therefore, five layers of personality are analyzed now. And it will help you to arrive at the self being Brahman. There is no Brahman, there is no way of arriving at Brahman other than arriving at the self. Arriving at the self is arriving at Brahman, the reality of the universe. And here I told you last class itself, I remember, I am sure I told you this. And here very beautifully presented here. Panchakosha Prakriya, I mean not just simply jumping and saying, going like this. Each layer of personality is first seriously taken as the self. We do accept the layer of personality as the self Atma. Because we are taking the non-self, the layer of personality as the person, the Atma. So Upanishad, what does it do without confusing us? Accepting our perception from our standpoint, you know, then coming with us, putting its hand upon our shoulders, then making us see from different standpoint. Isn't it? It's a nice way of doing it. Upanishad accepts us, our perception. If Upanishad denies our perception, and then we will, it will be very difficult for us to accept, because it is very, the most difficult thing for a person is, one of the greatest pain is that, you know, to deny one's perception. You cannot deny your perception. For you, your perception is very much right for you. If I deny your perception, then your perception is fooled. It's a great pain. You won't accept it. That is the problem most of the times. We go by our perceptions. So here the perception is what happens. Upanishad does not deny your perception, accepts your perception. Then from your standpoint, then it helps you to see the self from different standpoint. Therefore, it takes, okay, let us take this first layer of personality as the Atma. What is the first layer of personality? Physical body. The gross physical body. And this is what no product of food. It's a born of food essence of the parents. Then it is sustained by the food eaten. And when it resolves also, it goes back to what now? It resolves into, it disintegrates into elements and minerals which become food for the other beings. Okay, annena jatam, annena vardate, then anne praviliyate. Okay, it resolves into, becomes food only. It is food. Therefore, this physical body is the first layer of personality. And here we take what now? This physical body is the Atma. Take that way. This is the Atma. And it has five aspects also. Shiraha, Dakshina Pakshaha, Uttara Pakshaha, you know, Atma, then Puccham. Puccham. A part below the hip is Puccham. The part above the hip is what? The trunk, then head, above the neck, then two hands. No, this physical form consisting of head, Puccham, Dakshina Paksha, Uttara Paksha, then Atma, the trunk, all these five parts together what no constitute the physical body, which is what no? Annamayaha Koshaha, this is the Atma. Like each layer of personality, when it is taken as Atma, it's like a step by step we have to go. Don't simply mechanically say this Anatma. No. First take your step carefully, place your step on the first, foot on the first step, then take the other foot also, then place both the feet together on the first step, then stabilize your, stepping. Then see that you don't really move or fall. Then you have to take the next step and put on the next step. You have to say. So this, we'll see this when you come back next class. This where I left last class. All that I said in the class today, only repetition of what I had said earlier many times. But today I've just crushed the last, where I left. And in next class we will not repeat any one word of what I have said earlier. We'll straight away go to the new fresh class, next class. Okay? Because of long break I'm starting, I didn't know how to. Just go. And then one more thing I want to tell you. Gita home study also, how when you're reading. When you're doing some work at home, you're reading here. When you read it, see that you really, each page, whatever the content is, you see, thoroughly understand it. And you should be able to express it to other person also. Thoroughly understand it. And you can make a small notes or something, it will be very good. And I'm thinking maybe we can, you can present your own papers on Gita. For second chapter, what you have understood. Without distorting from what you said there. Third chapter, like that. So it would be very nice if you can do that. Because that is why Gita, because it becomes really assimilated. Because Bhagavad Gita understanding alone will help you to tackle day-to-day problems in life. Because every day when we go through a lot of things in life, then what is the use of knowing Brahman, Atma, consciousness, Taittiriya Upanishad and that and this and studying all these things? The transformation must be there, isn't it? It's only we get informed. But really, in practical, in day-to-day life, how that knowledge helps me to accept my life as it is and how it helps me to take my life, just to be unaffected by the situations in life. Because I really want it. Because I've been thinking this. Listen, even I've been telling everywhere very seriously. Now, what I'm studying should help me, in my life, day-to-day life. I should measure my clarity. How much I'm affected means my clarity is zero level, isn't it? If things I don't get affected, means it should help me. If Shastram has to help, has to bless you, isn't it? We need Shastra's blessings. So that is why I'm saying we have to work for this now. That Shastra's vision should become our vision, that we should not be affected by it. Our life should become the freedom we should discover here now. You're not free still. Which if you study each page, I think when you study, even at home, when you're not only in the Gita homeschool club, you're coming back and go and forget. I know that people like Sarojiji, they do work very hard, seriously studying also. When you study each paragraph, and see or what I have understood. Nothing much is there, then read the whole page, two paragraph, three paragraph or the whole page, and see what I have understood, what content is there, how what it says exactly, should remember. If possible, you can even make a note also, and then you can even put in your own things. I got some small, I'm thinking of some project of getting these things, how to make it, suppose what you understand from Gita, your own understanding, you can put in your own words. Om. I will pray to Bhagavan. May Bhagavan bless all of us with the commitment, Shraddha, and with all to pursue our knowledge. May Bhagavan see that no obstacle is there in our pursuit of knowledge. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.